We did it home, and one thing led to another. We walked out the back door, put our equipment out of the car, and we pulled it out, walked out the back door, went to the car with the guitar, put the guitar in the car, and proceeded to drive home from Trumbull. Pouring rain. Really, we made it to Salisbury, pouring rain. Got in the house, I walked upstairs. I reached in my pocket and looked at something, and I said, "Oh Lord, I never put the equipment in the trunk." We left our equipment, all our stuff, on a car at the nursing home. I said, and my bride I said, "I'll go." She said, "You're not going without me." I mean, I put shoes on without socks. She already had part of her jammies on. She didn't even. We got back in the car, and all the way to Trumbull. Your pastor tried not to worry. Your pastor tried not to be afraid. But I'm flesh and blood. My wife helped me. You see how this works out here? Your wife, your husband, your friend, she helped me. She was just as scared as I was. Just like, oh, you know, everything I had was on that car. And I would have to replace every single thing. We drove all the way to Trumbull, and the lightning and the thunder, and just amazing. We got there, and I pulled in. This is 3 hours later. There it was. The car. All the equipment. I was speechless. I did not know how to say thank you to God. I didn't know how to say, you know what I'm saying, David? I didn't even know how to properly say thank you, Lord. And not only that, but I got the equipment in the trunk, and I didn't close the trunk when the monsoons, the thunderstorm, rained so hard all the way home. Not one drop of rain touched our equipment, not one piece was missing, not one piece touched. There it sat in all the places, and I just had to say, I got to tell everybody about what God did for us and that testimony. But I also wanted you to know, just so you know, that I'm flesh and blood like you, and I fall short like you. I was not as comfortable as I wish I had been. And my wife was the same way, but God came through and got there, and there it was. 3 hours. I mean, 20, 30 people could walk, people walking in the door, coming out to work, and just seeing all that stuff sitting there. And God is good, amen. Wonder how that could happen. Trust me, it happens. And those are the kind of things that you want to tell your friends what God did for you. You know, the other day we got behind somebody who had to go to work when we were in Fairfield, and I must have got behind three people who drive slower than I do. That's not funny.
Thank you, Lord. For we did not follow kindly the bodies of people, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord
Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitnesses of His majesty. Understand what Peter is saying. We saw Jesus. I'm telling you that we saw Him. We're giving you testimony of what we saw. And He said, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, that's His Father. And His Father said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. They were with Jesus. He's telling you in this book is telling you, this person, Peter, telling you, I was with Him. And He said, so we have a prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now listen, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Every word written in here by every man that wrote in here did not write his own idea. Amen. He did not write what he thought. He did not write what he thought God thought. He did not. It was not his own interpretation. Every man who wrote in his book wrote inspired by God. He wrote what God wanted him to write. Amen. That's why the people say, well, man wrote the Bible. Yes, but it was inspired by God. By no, listen to me what it says again. I want to read that to you. Knowing that first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It just wasn't somebody's prophet's idea. For prophecy never came by the will of man. In other words, man never came up with anything of God. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This Bible is more than a book. Amen? But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Listen to what God says. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen? Do you love Him this morning? Then the Bible says He's got things for you you can't even believe. Now listen to what it says. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Through His what? Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Now listen, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Who knows you better than you? That's what it's saying, amen? Nobody knows you better than you. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, amen? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. These men wrote this Bible, amen? They were given the Spirit through the Spirit of God, amen? So that we can listen to that again. That we might know the things that have been, and here's the word, the things that have been freely given, amen, by God. Freely given to us by God, amen? You didn't have to pay a price, right? You didn't have to pay a price to come in the door. You don't have to pay us anything, amen? You don't have to pay God for His love, amen? You don't have to do certain things to be a member of this church, amen? All this, all you're learning and hearing about today has been freely given to you. If it's been freely given to me and freely given to this ministry, it must be freely given to who? You. Through the Holy Spirit. Now, when we got this Bible, we got this book. I've heard people say, well, men wrote this book. Yes, but the Bible tells us it was inspired by God because they did one thing. They loved Him. Amen? They loved Him, and God was able to move in them. You know when you love somebody, how much you'll do for that person. Amen? You know that if you love God, if you truly love Him, He can move you. You'll drift with Him. And you say, well, I'm right over here. And you go, and you say, I want to be sure. And you'll go where He sends you. Amen? Remember I said sometimes it's harder to talk to people who have just a little bit of knowledge of God, who think they're stuck in their way. You can't move them left or right. But if you just let God move you, amen, then He will do my miracles as He did in His Bible. Hallelujah. Then not the private opinion of the writer. After all removes man, God inspired, God led. Hearts and minds led, guided, and touched by the Holy Spirit's indwelling. Listen to what this says right here about this book, this Bible right here. Listen to me, brothers, please. The Bible, attentively read, causes changes, convictions, and comforts. No other book can do what this one book does. No other book can move you like this book does. Amen? This book you might read and say, oh, I did that. I know I made that sin. I got these commandments. I know I failed. I know I fell short. And that's conviction. Amen? The Bible says, I feel bad that I did it. But on the next page, lifts you back up again. It comforts you. Why? Because of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Forgive you. Amen? So no matter what you've done, if you ask for forgiveness, guess what you have? Forgiveness. Let no man judge you. Amen? Because the Bible tells us so. Because the Bible tells us so. The Bible, a testimony believer, it causes changes, convictions, and comforts. No other book ever written can do this, what you can do. This book can do for you. We've been showing you, Marshall Gary, right? One page changes your life. This book, one page. Listen to what Jesus said. Let me read you what Jesus said. Everybody wants their opinion, but let me give you what Jesus said about this Bible. How important this Bible, the Old Testament. Listen to what he says about the Old Testament. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus is saying, "I came here to fulfill all the Old Testament." He said, "I came here to fulfill it all." So he's talking about this book. He knows this book. He said, "For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle may not, will by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled." He's saying that nothing in the Old Testament. Nothing's going to be changed. Jesus said, "I know the Old Testament. I helped write it. I inspired it. And I'm telling you, nothing's going to be changed until it's fulfilled, but it's going to be. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." He said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Tell you what that means. How many times we talk about the scribes and the Pharisees, Ms. Pat? Jesus was in the synagogue. Jesus, standing right here, and they didn't know him. They didn't know him because they didn't love him. They didn't want to believe. They didn't have him. So the righteousness was that. That's what they had. When you go somewhere and they don't teach about Jesus, that's what they had. They didn't see him. He was standing right there and they didn't see him. And he is saying, well, that's their righteousness. But your righteousness doesn't come from that. Let me say, "For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom." You say, "Pastor Larry, how can my righteousness exceed the righteousness of those Pharisees?" Through faith. Say that with me. Faith. Hallelujah. Through faith. Not by laws. You can't make it happen. You can't be good enough for God. Amen. Bible says we do, and I'm not going to call God a liar, amen? But what we have that the Pharisees don't have is love for Jesus, amen? That's our righteousness. That's our salvation. Hallelujah. Bring to completion the written law to begin again the new covenant. Jesus said, "I came to fulfill the entire Old Testament." And when he died on the cross and he was resurrected, he removed this and gave us the new promise, amen? The new covenant about Jesus, amen? That's what he did, and that's the promises that we have. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Righteousness, not of works, not legalism, but of the heart. Through Jesus, you love him through your heart. Hallelujah. God breathed, God inspired. Let's talk about the Bible. 66 books. People said, "I want to read the Bible front to back. I want to go read front to back." It's not a book like that, amen? It's not a story that begins and ends. It's written 66 different books in this Bible. 40 different writers or more, living different places, different environments during the time of 1600 years. And they wrote this book. All these people wrote this book. 66 books. And not one book contradicts itself. Amen? These people didn't know. This person didn't know. This person and this person 500 miles away didn't know. He wrote it at a different time. Yet when they put it together in this Bible, it all came together. Amen? How can that be? There's only one answer. God. Amen? God inspired these people to write, contributing each part, never aware of each other, to make it one whole. Never contradicting what the others wrote. It had to be God. Now some folks might hear this story, and I'm going to tell you, some folks say, "Well, there's other books that were supposed to be in the Bible, or other books that could be in the Bible." And I say, yes, there are other books that sometimes you can see in the Bible. But let me tell you why the early churches didn't put some of them in. Because they weren't as inspired. They weren't from the apostles. They were other people writing great letters, and letters that I wish we had copies of, but they were copies from some of the other letters that Paul wrote, or
study that I did said that those letters would make excellent reading. You'd love them because they don't contradict, but they weren't added because they weren't the words that were inspired. They were translations, and the other writers who wrote from the book of Acts, from the book of Peter, amen. You understand what I'm saying? That's why they're not in the Bible. Now, there are some letters that they went, some books in there that were just abominations, amen. Some people wanted to write what happened to Jesus in his younger days. How many have ever heard that? You know, because the Bible only speaks of Jesus to a certain age and then passes over and says, well, what did he do during his teen years? Well, some people wanted to write that. There was nothing ever inspired by God to write that. They became their own ideas. They became fables. They became stories. Somebody had to tie the middle in. We're not talking about, what's that big dude, the book, the lady that did the movie, Harry Potter. We're talking about God, amen? There's nothing, God hasn't revealed that we don't need to know, amen? I can say that. I'm telling you flat out, if it's not revealed in here, we don't need to know. Because we won't believe this. 66 books, why don't we believe another one, amen? Are you with me?
Yes.
You got one though, yeah. Okay. I ask you, beautiful book, this Bible, our Bible, who wrote it? Who were these people? Were they scholars? Were they professors? Were they Pharisees? Were they the most, were they scientists? Were they brilliant minds? Let me tell you, who wrote your book? A priest, Ezra. A poet, Solomon. A prophet, Isaiah. A warrior, David. Shepherd, Amos. A statesman, Daniel, Hebrews. Sages, Moses and Paul. They were, Moses wrote five books, amen? Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and he talked to God. Anybody here ever have God talk to you like that? He talked to the burning bush. God talked to Moses. He must have told him so many things that Moses had to write down. Imagine that. Who else we got? A tax man, a tax collector. Matthew wrote a book. And two fishermen, George. Peter and John. God used those people to write this book. This book. Inspired. Those people, uneducated as they may have been, wrote and nothing contradicted. How would they know that? How would they know unless God inspired it? Amen? The Old Testament was the prophecy of the coming Messiah. The New Testament is the story in the Gospel of Jesus. Amen? All these people writing. Paul wrote letters to churches. When you read the New Testament, it sounds crazy. Oh, Galatians and Colossians and Corinthians. What is that all about? That's Paul writing letters to churches like ours here in Derby, telling them what they need to do to build themselves stronger. Amen. What they need to do to move in the Word and help people and to build ministries. Amen. That's what they are. They're letters for us to read about how to work with God, how to talk with God. Hallelujah. Listen, the moral standards of the Bible without Jesus, the moral standards of this book without Jesus are unattainable. They are. But with Jesus, we're able to be reached. Amen? This book without Jesus, all those laws, right? Can we keep these?
Yeah.
You know, God said if you did one, you did them all. He said, God, we numbered them 1 to 10. God never numbered them 1 to 10. These are things that if we lived by, our lives would be better, amen? But we couldn't keep the law. The Bible says we couldn't keep the law. So the moral standard of this book without Jesus is unattainable. Hallelujah. Our loving God. God says to us, God says, be holy, for I am holy. You imagine that? Marcia, he said you can be holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Your God is telling you that he loves you so much. He's saying, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. God yearns for us to call on him, trust him. He gave us this book, these promises. Listen, the creator of man reveals man to himself. Why would he do that unless he loved us so much? Why would he give us this book, this particular book, filled with so much for us? Salvation, the way of forgiveness, deliverance, powers from darkness, to love, to be free, not in bondage anymore, not under man. Now here's where you get a lot of questions. Anybody get this question? Well, is God the only way? Is Jesus the only way? Is the Bible? Anybody ever heard that question before, David? Well, is that the only way? Here's my question to them. Where are you going? You said, the only way to where? That's what I was in your Bible. You said, Jesus, the only way. I said, no, wait a minute. But where are you talking about? Where are you going? What paradise are you going? What heaven are you talking about? My question would be, what have you been promised? Whatever you've been reading, but if there's another way, if there's another life without Jesus, well, tell me, what have you been promised? Because you're asking me now, is there another way? I would say to that person, where's your faith? Show me your peace. Show me your strength. I don't deny what they're saying. I don't know. Listen, God is, He can do whatever He wants. Amen? I had an argument with a reverend one time in our church about aliens. Yeah, aliens and another solar system. Chrissy, you heard that there might be another planet somewhere with life on it? And the reverend said, no way. I said, are you kidding? You're telling me that there's no life anywhere else. So you're telling me that God can't have life. Who are we to say that there's not another earth somewhere 25 million light years away that's the same thing that we're going, right? Amen? You know what I'm saying? It's God has a way. We don't need to know. But I would never say that there's not, because they're not saying something that God can't do or wouldn't do. Amen? Hallelujah. I would say, show me your strength. Show me where your faith is. Show me where your peace is. That's another one. Show me your peace. Amen? Show me that you're in peace even though turmoil is around you. And I'll talk to you about your God. But if you're talking to me, you come up to me and I'm a pastor and you say, God, is that the only way? And I say, well, if you're talking about my God and you're talking about the Bible and you're talking about Jesus, I just simply say He's the truth, the life, and the way. That's the way to God. That's the way to heaven. That's what I got. This book has been translated into more languages than any other book circulated. And this book is a bestseller all over the world. Amen? Sometimes I heard Wigglesworth say, if you're not walking around with a Bible, you're empty-handed. You don't have a Bible in your hand or some of the scripture, New Testament scripture, you're empty-handed. If your Bible isn't all worked up and marked up, say, you're not talking to God at all. If you don't have writing on your pages and you don't have your pages all bent up, you're not spending enough time with God, because this is His Word. This isn't just the Word of God. It is God. Amen? Say that with me. It is God. This book, it's God. It's God. If you don't look at it and read it, then it's on you. That's fine. He's not going to be mad at you. Isn't that nice? He gives you His Word and you don't read it. He's not going to be mad at you. It's bad. He's just going to say, you know, I could have saved you from that. You know, I could have kept you from that. I could have kept you from being worried. Your daughter's got a house now. You've been praying and praying and praying. The first time you prayed, He heard you. He heard you. And you just said, okay, God, I know, so I got other things I need to do because my daughter's in the house. How much less worrying would you have done? Concern, amen? If you know the Word of God and you have that faith, hallelujah, been translated. Whole libraries are holding interpretations of this book. Whole libraries full of this book's interpretations. Whenever it is read, wherever it is read, listen to me, wherever this book is read and obeyed, it has transformed men and whole nations, because it reaches deep inside your heart and soul. Its fruit is good and wholesome. Amen? This is what I wrote this morning. When you fail, God never fails. From conviction to righteousness. Amen? When you fall short, He lifts you up. Wherever this book is read and preached and obeyed and transforms men, you cannot read this book without moving in your life. Amen? You can't find it. And if you find a spot, Christy, that you say just makes no sense to you, then find another page. Just find another page. Go to the New Testament. Read what John said. Read the Proverbs. You want a prophet? How many people want a prophecy? Anybody ever gone to a prophet? You see those people on TV and the fortune tellers and the people with the crystal balls. What do they call them people? People got itchy ears. They want to go to these people. Let me tell you this. It's in here. What do you want to know? Well, where's my mother? She passed away. She's in heaven. She's happy. You don't have any idea how nice it's here. The Bible says, you know, so what are you worried about now? Where's your father? He's in heaven. He's happy. He knows you're coming. Amen? They know you're coming because you and your household shall be saved. Amen? So what do you want to do? Sit down and talk. Well, what? I need a job. Did you pray about it? Because God said, I got a job for you. You got to pray about it. Amen? When people give other people prophecies, and like talking to But anybody that ever says to you that they have a word to you from God, it better be good. It better not have any question marks. It better not have any bewares. Amen? Because every word from God doesn't have follow-up. Beware. Look out. It's a good word. Amen? A good word from God lifts up. This book, this Bible, here is the year 2013, has stood up to the enemies and also the misinterpretations of its friends. This book has taken so many hits from so many people, yet here it is. Every Sunday, what do we read from? What changes our lives? The Word of God. Amen? Therefore, no man can stand in front of Jesus' judgment. Let me read what John said. Let me read this. Listen to me. If a man loves me, this is what God said. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Brothers and sisters, this morning, here's what you have. Three things. You have the Father as your Father. You have the Son as your brother. And you have the Holy Spirit as your advocate. Again, I say to you, if you want a prophecy from God, if you want somebody to tell you your fortune, just open up to the book of Proverbs. Amen? And you'll see your fortune told on every page. You want to look at the Psalms. You want to trust in the Lord and He will direct your path. Deacon Chuck, if I said trust in the Lord and He will direct your path, that kind of answers everything else you need to know. Love the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's what He said. So where else you got to go? You got to go find somebody that talks to somebody who doesn't know God. I always tell people, you want to love people, and have people pray to the saints, and I think that's a great thing. You want to pray to saints. I know that sometimes some people have learned for some reason that you pray to saints. This is what I tell them because of what I read in the Bible. This is what I can tell you. You pray to the saint who loses things, and you find that that's a great thing. You pray to that because you know what you're doing. You trust in God. Amen. You're still calling on God. Amen. But I always tell people, well, you call on that saint.
Give him praise. That's your prophecy.